Welcome to another edition of Faith on the Line with Amazing Discoveries. We continue our message today on true and false prophets as Brian Newman looked at the scriptural references regarding these two types of people and shows the characteristics that apply to each type of individual. So now, let's join Brian.
Welcome again to our study that we are doing into the Word of God as the foundation of the Christian faith. And you will remember that last time we were studying the controversy that took place between Hananiah the prophet and Jeremiah the prophet, where it was clearly shown that Jeremiah the prophet proved that if we want to know if something is truth, we need to go back to the foundation, to the Word of God, the testimony of the prophets, because any light that comes needs to conform to the light that has already been given. In other words, it will not contradict the truth of the Word of God as is already revealed in the canon of Scripture or in the testimony of God's true prophets. There was a message of peace and safety that Hananiah the prophet was preaching that was existing in that time, this message. But it was in conflict to the message which God had given the people. And today we want to go and see if indeed towards the end of time, if the same condition will exist on the planet where people are trying to appease one another, make one another feel that everything is okay. There will be peace. As Hananiah the prophet prophesied that the vessels will be brought back to the temple again. The temple would be rebuilt in 2 years. We saw that this was a false prophecy. Today there are many people speaking about the rebuilding of the temple, that once again an age of peace and prosperity will come upon the world, in spite of the fact that the Bible, the prophets of old in the Old Testament clearly testified, Daniel being one of them in Daniel chapter 2, when the vision was given to Nebuchadnezzar of the head of gold and the body of silver and the waist of bronze and the legs of iron and the feet of iron and clay. When it got down to the end of time, to the feet of iron and clay, it said that they will not cleave one to another, the nations. Yet today we see the nations in the world are talking about a time of peace and prosperity, where people are going to come together in a global village with unity and so on. But the prophecy says they will not cleave one to another. The world is filled today with Hananiah prophets who are preaching a message of peace and safety. But peace and safety is not going to come until Jesus himself comes to this world, as was symbolized by the stone in that dream given to Nebuchadnezzar that came and struck the image on the feet of iron and clay. At that point where the people, where man is trying to create peace and unity, that stone will come and strike the feet, and then God will establish his own eternal kingdom. So man is not the one who does it. And Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says very clearly from verses 2, he says, "You yourselves know perfectly," that you know well, "that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Now there are many, of course, who will say, well, that's it, you know, regarding the thief in the night situation, that we never know when God's going to come, so it's pointless even worrying about it, it's going to be as a thief in the night. But listen to this, I'm going to kill two birds with one stone in this particular study we're doing. So he says it will come as a thief in the night, for, and this is the sign. So there is a sign that will show us when he's about to return. It says, "For when they shall say, peace and safety," the same message that was given by the false prophets in the time of Jeremiah, "when they will say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." When they shall cry peace and safety. So the situation that peace is going to exist in the world, or when people are talking about it, is actually not a sign that we are okay. It is a sign that the end is about to come. The sudden destruction is just about to come. He goes on to say in verses 4, "But you, brethren," now listen to this very carefully, "you, our brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." Ah, so we have a sign. Yes, the day comes as a thief in the night, but if we are children of the light, because we are not in darkness, as Paul says here, then that day need not overtake us as a thief. And that is why when we look at the message that is being spoken in the world today, that is being taught in the world today of peace and safety and world unity, then we know that that day is about to come. It is a clear signal. In verse 5 he says, "You are all children of the light." What does it mean to be a child of the light? Children of the day, he says, we are not of the night nor of darkness. So let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. What does it mean to be a child of the night, of the light? This is very important for us to consider, because the light means a lot of things in Scripture, and something very specific here is being referred to when it talks about the light. We know that the Word of God, and it is indeed the psalmist that writes, and I will refer to this text later on, he says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." What makes you a child of the light is the fact that the Word of God becomes the light, the foundation of your faith. The testimony of the law and the prophets of the Bible becomes the foundation of your faith. That is exactly what Jeremiah did in his day. It was the Word of God. He said, we must compare the prophecy that you are making, Hananiah, to what has already been said by the prophets of old. So here we see Paul referring to the same concept and the same idea. Everything needs to be tested according to the Word of God to establish whether it is indeed from God. In fact, Paul very clearly is making the same point that is made in 1 John chapter 4 verses 1, a very, very important text, and one indeed which many of you may be familiar with. And let's turn in our Bibles here to 1 John chapter 4 verses 1, and let's see what it says. Follow me in your scriptures. It says here in verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test or try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." The same as the time of Hananiah and Jeremiah. There were many prophets, by the way. Hananiah was not only the only false prophet who were going out prophesying whether something was of God, indeed declaring that the Lord has actually said this and that and the other thing. But the prophet Jeremiah applied the tests that we are being told we should apply in 1 John chapter 4 verse 1. And the test is, don't believe the spirits. And that means don't believe just every voice that is speaking to you. Test everything. Don't trust in your emotions. Don't trust, it may be your own mind speaking to yourself. It may even be the devil impressing something upon you. Test it according to the Word of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And that is very significant indeed when you consider the fact that this was not a teaching that John just came up with by himself. In fact, there was a very important principle, a very important teaching that John had actually been shown by Jesus himself. And if you go to Matthew chapter 7 verses 15 to 22, we will establish that very, very clearly. Matthew chapter 7, and we're starting off in verses 15. This is an important sermon that Christ was presenting to his disciples at the time, warning them about those who would come pretending to come in his name, pretending to be true prophets. And in verses 15 he said, and you will remember we use this portion of scripture in our study on music, and I'm going to raise some of those important points and embellish on them a little bit more during this study. He said, "Beware of false prophets," in verse 15, "which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." They look like the real thing. They claim to be from God. They are coming with a message which apparently, for all intents and purposes, seems to come from God. But inwardly there is something which will reveal, some way we will know that inwardly they are ravenous wolves. In other words, they are coming and really fulfilling the cause of Satan. Like Hananiah the prophet came and made the people believe in a lie rather than the truth. Made them believe in a fable rather than trusting in the truth. Listen to what it says here. The very next verse, verse 16, it says, "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? So you will know if they are from God by the fruits they bear. Now that means, do they actually conform to the test, the biblical test? The fruits of Hananiah's prophecy, did they conform to the biblical test? Very clearly not. Jeremiah said that the biblical test was that the prophet who is prophesying, that his prophecy should come true, and that it should be in conformity to the prophecies, the light that have already been given. So yes, one of the fruits which you can test by. The other fruits are the life of the person. Does it conform to the teachings of the Word of God? The doctrines, are they according to the Word of God? All these things are fruits and signs, whether it truly is of God or whether it is not. It goes on to say in verse 17, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So if it is grounded and rooted in the light, which is God, which indeed is Jesus Christ, the fruits will be good fruits. But if it is rooted and grounded in that which comes from error, which comes from Satan, then it will bear bad fruit. Christ says in verses 19 and 20, he says, every tree that bringeth not forth fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. So there is a consequence. As a consequence of being a false prophet like Hananiah, there is ultimately a penalty that will be paid, as Hananiah, in his case, paid with his life. And indeed, ultimately, the penalty for those who do not follow God's plan, unfortunately, will be that they will pay with their lives. Because death is the result of sin. Death is the result of ignoring God and his plan. And we bring it upon ourselves, ultimately, through the choices which we make. In verse 21 it says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. So not everybody that says, oh Lord, by the way, I'm a child of yours and I use your name, can I come into the kingdom of heaven? God says, no, not everybody who just says, Lord, Lord, will come into the kingdom of heaven. The fact that Hananiah the prophet came along and said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, and prophesied, did that mean that God was going to accept him? No. Because he ignored some very important instruction that God had given. So not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. The will of the Father is revealed through the testimony of the Scriptures. It is through the Word of God that we know what the will of the Father is. That's why it's called the Word of God, the Bible, the testimony of Scripture. So, and in fact, in verse 22, he says, even if people do wonderful things, and listen to the word here, it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? And in your name done many wonderful works? Yet I will profess unto them, he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. So there will be a group of people who may have done many wonderful works, even in the name, who apparently might have done miracles in the name of the Lord. And by the way, the devil can also perform miracles. They will do incredible things in the name of the Lord, and yet Jesus turns around to them and says, I don't know you, but why? Because you work iniquity. The New King James Bible says, you who practice lawlessness. What is lawlessness? What is iniquity? Well, iniquity is sin. What is sin? Sin is the transgression of the law, according to 1 John. Sin is the transgression of the law of God. In other words, you are not living your life in conformity to the Word of God, to the will of the Father, which gives you entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Now, we must understand these concepts more deeply, and we certainly will get more deeper into them during our study. But this is very important to realize what Jesus is telling us here. We should not just follow what the majority and what the world is saying, because ultimately we are going to lead ourselves into deception. If you study the Scriptures, and maybe we should go now to 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 19, verses 21, which will be our next portion. Let's go to that and see indeed what the Bible teaches here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 and 21. We will have a better idea how to relate to prophecies that may be given or may come in the name of God and profess to be from God. So we read here in 1 Thessalonians, and I'm reading chapter 5, and I'm reading verses 19 to 20, and then, of course, verses 21 as well. It says here, quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, in other words, prophecies, but prove all things, in other words, test all things, and hold fast to that which is good. In other words, that which is true. So basically what Paul is teaching here, he is saying that don't just despise a prophecy. Somebody, what happened with Hananiah and Jeremiah? You will remember that when Jeremiah made his prophecy, Hananiah made his prophecy, Jeremiah didn't just say, well, hey, I don't believe what you're saying. He even said, amen. He said, the Lord performed those things which you have prophesied. But then he qualified what he said, and he said that we need to test it, though, because there were prophets who came before you and prophesied of all kinds of things that should come to pass. And we will only know if a prophet is true that if the prophecy he prophesies comes to pass. And really, in essence, that means if it is in accordance with what God has already revealed. So listen to the prophecy, listen to the message, but then test it to see if it is from God. And if it is good, as Paul says here, then we can hold on to that, providing, though, it is good and it is in accordance with God's plan. This is a very important test. What is the test, though? What is the biblical test for truth? We have already alluded to it in our study so far, but here we can go to the real categorical teaching of Scripture. And we can go to the book of Isaiah, if you will follow me in your Bibles, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 8, where we have the foundational principle. Chapter 8, verses 20. Listen to what it says. This will characterize those who are God's people and who are giving the truth. This is their foundation. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Let's pause there for a moment and discuss this text. You will remember when we looked at what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, where he spoke about those children of God who were not children of darkness, but were children of the light, who would know when the day of the Lord was near, who would know that when people are crying peace and safety, that then the end is about to come, sudden destruction. He referred to those people as being the children of the light. That means the light was in them. And Jeremiah, the prophet here, is saying, to the law and to the testimony. What is the law and the testimony? Well, if you were speaking to a Hebrew in that day and age, the law and the testimony would immediately be understood, and this will become clearer, indeed, as we continue in our study, as being the writings of Moses, the first five books of the Bible, the law, and the testimony was the testimony of the prophets. They would also include the Psalms in that as well. So, in other words, basically it meant the canon of Scripture that was available to them at that time was the foundation of truth, and it would everything had to be in accordance with the law and the light that has already been given, the word. So he says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word. In other words, if it is not in harmony with light given, even if it claims to be new light, it does not have light in it if it does not conform to these criteria, to the law and to the testimony. In fact, he says, it means that there is no light in them if they do not conform to the teaching of the Word of God. And by the way, this is not just an Old Testament doctrine or teaching, that it has to be in accordance with the Word of God. People today are saying, well, it's fine as long as I feel this impression from the Holy Spirit, that puts me above the Word of God. The Spirit is above the Word, but it is not. You will remember in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, we already established very clearly that God told these people in the Christian era that they were to test the spirits to see if they are from God, because there were many false prophets in the world. So to believe that an impression which apparently comes from the Holy Spirit is above the Word of God is a fallacy. Everything needs to be tested according to the Word of God. This will become clearer in our study as well as we continue. It is not just enough to claim that it comes from the Word of God. It's a New Testament teaching, not just an Old Testament teaching. In fact, we will see as we continue in our study, in our next session that we are going to do, that God's people themselves right until the very end of time. In fact, the very remnant of God, which will remain before Jesus returns, will be characterized by the same characteristics that we find here in Isaiah chapter 8, verses 20. The principle and teaching is applicable. They will still be a people that ground their religion and their faith in the teachings of the Word of God. So my prayer is once again that we go again to the Bible, use that as the foundation of our faith. And I look forward again to our next session where we can actually go once again into the Word of God and find out what it is in the Word of God. Not according to man and people, but what the Word of God teaches us that we should be doing. May God bless you. Look forward to speaking to you again later. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. I hope you have been encouraged to prove all things and that your walk with God is strengthened by these informative messages. If you'd like an audio cassette of this message for $7 Canadian, please call Amazing Discoveries at 1-866-572-9457. Your prayers and financial support are very much appreciated as Amazing Discoveries shares these important messages on the radio. If you feel this ministry has helped you in your walk with Christ, we'd like to hear from you. You can write to us at Amazing Discoveries, Box 26012, Richmond, BC, V6Y, 3V3. And for those in the U.S., please write to Box 4480, Blaine, Washington, 98231. This is going to be our final week on the air, and we would greatly appreciate any feedback you may have as to how these messages have helped. For those on the internet, please visit our website at amazingdiscoveries.org, where you can listen to past radio programs as well as watch a number of video clips on a variety of Bible subjects. Before we go, we'd just like to leave you with a song arranged by Brian Newman entitled Children of the Light, which comes from a CD of Brian's that can be ordered through Amazing Discoveries. I'm Jason Hernberg, thanking you for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
By the word of God that the righteous are in their graves, And when Jesus comes on the clouds, we'll call them by their names. And we believe in the sanctuary and the ministry of our Lord. And as the remnant of his seed, we will hold to his truth, though the heavens may fall. We are the children of the light, and Christ is on our side. We'll fight the dragon and stand by the power of our holy God. We hold to his commands and the testimony of his word. With the sword of truth and the Holy Spirit as our guide, we'll share home in the promised land. We believe that to follow the world will lead us to eternal good. And we know that the light and dark cannot have communion. We believe that all of God's law is a reflection of his will. And as the remnant of his seed will follow his truth, though the heavens may fall, we are the children of the light, and Christ is on our side. We'll fight the dragon and stand by the power of our holy God. We hold to his commands and the testimony of his word. With the sword of truth and the Holy Spirit as our guide, we shall hold in the promised land. We believe, as the word has said, that our bodies are the temple of God. We must guard the paths to our souls, we are bought with innocent blood. We believe that as priests and kings, we are holy to the Lord. And as the remnant of his seed, we will follow his truth, though the heavens may fall. We are the children of the light, and Christ is on our side. We'll fight the dragon and stand by the power of our holy God. We hold to his commands and the testimony of his word. With the sword of truth and the Holy Spirit as our guide, we'll reach our home. In the promised land, we are the children of the light, and Christ is on our side. We'll fight the dragon and stand.